Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. Media Myths.
Hello. The subject on which I've spoken with you most often is the dominant Jewish influence in the mass media of news and entertainment. I've spoken most often about this because it is the most important problem with which we must deal. It's also a subject on which I receive a lot of flack. One of the most common forms of flack is the objection that it doesn't matter. Sure, the Jews control the media, but it doesn't make any difference, critics tell me. They're just good businessmen, and they know how to run the media profitably. That's why they've gained control, and it's no worse than it would be if a bunch of Irishmen or Mormons were in their place. Now, really, I think that many of the people who tell me this don't actually believe it. They just want to be politically correct, and it's politically correct to absolve the Jews of blame for anything. Even many of the people who are distressed about what Jewish media control is doing to our society don't want to identify that control as Jewish. The Baptists, for example, who have launched a boycott of the Disney Corporation because of the raunchy movies its Miramax Films division has been turning out, refuse to identify either Disney boss Michael Eisner or the Miramax bosses Bob and Harvey Weinstein as Jewish. The Baptist protest is against immorality in films, they insist, not against the Jewish control of the film industry. You know, that's a bit like saying you're against syphilis, but you have nothing against spirochetes. And it's not really honest, this determination to be politically correct. Political correctness is based on a denial of reality, on the substitution of a deliberately falsified picture of the world in the place of reality. And this dishonesty, this refusal to admit politically incorrect truths, does have very serious consequences for all of us. If we refuse to talk realistically about the Jewish control of the mass media, we may as well give up on trying to do anything about the negative effects this Jewish media control is having on our society. Let me give you a specific example of refusal to face a politically incorrect truth. Steven Spielberg has a new film out, Saving Private Ryan, and it's been getting a lot of attention by the reviewers. They say that the film is good because it is so realistic, because it gives such an honest portrayal of the Second World War. And of course, the film does show the blood and guts aspect of the war a bit more starkly than other films have. But honest it is not. It propagates the same lies about the Second World War that every film, and I mean every film, made by the Jewish film industry in Hollywood for nearly 60 years has propagated. And the reviewers, regardless of what else they say about these films, all repeat these same basic lies. These lies are that the Second World War was a necessary war. That is, that there was no way we could have avoided it. And that it was a good war. That is, a morally justified war. We were forced to fight Germany in order to protect America. We could not have stayed out of the war or fought on the other side because that would have been immoral. The other side was evil. We fought against evil. By destroying Hitler and Germany, we saved the world, Hollywood tells us. We saved freedom. We saved the world from slavery and tyranny. Hitler was an evil man, the most evil man who has ever lived. And with his evil SS troops, he intended to enslave the world and destroy everything beautiful and good. But we stopped him. We saved America. We saved the world. That's Hollywood's unvarying story, and it's a lie, an extremely dangerous and destructive lie. But, unfortunately, it is a lie which is accepted unquestioningly, uncritically, by almost everyone, and not just by the lemmings. We hear that lie today in connection with Spielberg's new movie, and in fact, we hear it from television news anchormen and from politicians and from other authority figures every time the war is mentioned. No dissent is permitted, but that's the case only for the Second World War. One can have dissenting views about the Spanish-American War or about the First World War or about the Korean War. One can question the morality or the necessity of those wars without being considered an evil person. And as for the war in Vietnam, one can even take the position of America's enemies, as film actress Jane Fonda did. But it has not been the government's hard line against dissenters which has kept people parroting the dogma that the Second World War was a war which was both necessary and good. And it hasn't been any reluctance to offend the veterans of the Second World War, because we have more living veterans of the Vietnam War in our society, and those opposed to the war in Vietnam have never worried about offending them. No, the dogma that the Second World War was necessary and good, that it saved the world or that it preserved our freedom, is entirely the creation of Jewish propagandists. Of course, the Second World War didn't preserve America's freedom. America's freedom was never threatened by Germany. Hitler could not even have imagined taking away America's freedom. His war against America was entirely defensive. We were the aggressors. The U.S. Army invaded Germany and took away Germany's freedom, not the other way around. There was never the slightest danger that Hitler would invade America. And we certainly didn't save the world. What we did was turn half of the world over to rule by communist butchers for nearly 50 years. We didn't even defend America's vital economic interests by destroying Germany. The only people whose vital interests were defended by America's participation in the Second World War were the Jews. And these facts really aren't even disputed by serious and knowledgeable people today. No reputable historian or military leader would make the claim today that the United States was in danger of being invaded by Germany, or that our vital interests were threatened by Germany. In other words, the war was not necessary. Every knowledgeable person understands that, but very few will say it. As for the claim that Hitler and his SS were evil monsters, and that America was on the side of righteousness in destroying them, we can simply look at the facts again. Look at what the two sides actually did during and after the war. It is generally conceded that the Germans treated American prisoners of war about as well as they could under the circumstances. And it also is generally conceded that Hitler's troops, SS or otherwise, behaved themselves better toward the civilian populations of the countries they occupied than did the armed forces of any of the other combatants, including the Americans. Hitler's SS troopers did not rape civilians, for example. Contrast this behavior with that of the Americans and our allies, such as the Red Army. The Red Army, our comrade in arms, was notorious for raping and murdering civilians. In fact, Red Army men were encouraged to engage in atrocious behavior by their own government, our ally. And the U.S. Army itself engaged in several massacres of German prisoners of war. For example, the massacre of more than 500 disarmed SS prisoners at Dachau by members of the U.S. Army's 45th Division on April 29, 1945. And then there was the mass starvation of German POWs in prison camps after the war. And there was the massive ethnic cleansing in which more than 2 million German civilians were murdered after the war. The U.S. government approved of this mass murder, of this ethnic cleansing. We gave the okay, and our allies carried it out. If we consider the mass rape and murder of civilians to be evil, if we consider the mass execution of prisoners of war to be evil, and if one of our motives for going to war was to fight evil, then clearly we were fighting on the wrong side. And it's not as if we didn't know how our gallant Soviet ally would behave before we began our effort to destroy Hitler and his forces. We had plenty of evidence of massive Soviet atrocities even before the war began. Our government knew what the communists had done in Ukraine. Our government knew about the mass arrests and executions in the Soviet Union. And before we crossed the English Channel to invade Europe, we knew about the mass executions of Polish officers by the Reds at Katyn and elsewhere. And yet, we allied ourselves with the mass murderers. We helped the mass murderers and mass rapists murder and rape millions of more Europeans. And so the claim that we were going to war to fight evil is simply a lie. The Second World War was not a good war. It was not a moral war. It was the most atrocious war of modern times. And we were on the side of those committing nearly all of the atrocities during that war. We were deliberately on the side of evil. And there is just one reason that we fought on the side of evil. It was because that was the Jewish side. In the years before the war, Hitler wasn't rounding up people by the thousands and shooting them the way the communists were. Hitler wasn't shooting anybody. His SS troops weren't raping or terrorizing anyone either. Hitler was doing one thing which resulted in a huge, lying, hate propaganda effort against him from Hollywood. That one thing was Hitler's campaign to break the grip of the Jews on Germany. In Germany, Hitler took the news and entertainment media away from the Jews. He kicked them out of the legal profession, which they had monopolized. He kicked them out of the teaching profession, where they had been pumping their ideas into the heads of German children. And Hitler did all of this peacefully, nonviolently. He didn't round up Jews and shoot them. He simply made it illegal for them to own German newspapers and German radio stations. He made it illegal for them to practice law or to teach in German schools. And so the Jews were leaving Germany. Between 1933 and 1939, two-thirds of the Jews in Germany immigrated. At the same time, the Jewish commissars in the Soviet Union were butchering millions of people. But the hate propaganda coming out of Hollywood was entirely anti-German, not anti-Soviet. The Jews' only concern was the welfare of their fellow Jews. They didn't care how many Russians or Ukrainians were murdered, but they screeched at the top of their lungs when Hitler took the German media away from them. And they lied to the American people about what was happening in Europe. They lied in order to make us hate the Germans the way they did. When a Jew assassinated a German diplomat in Paris in 1938, and the German people reacted by smashing up Jewish department stores and synagogues in several German cities, the Jewish news media in the United States reported the incident as if Jews were being massacred wholesale in Germany. That was the famous Kristallnacht, which the Jews still continue to remind us of every year in order to milk a little more sympathy from us. The picture of Germany painted by Jewish hate propaganda in the United States during the years preceding the Second World War was a complete distortion of reality. Americans were told that Germans lived in constant fear of the Gestapo and the SS, that Hitler was a madman who terrorized the German people and who fell to the floor and chewed the edge of his carpet when he became angry. Americans were told that Germany was a land of concentration camps and barbed wire and police dogs. Our invasion of Germany was to be a liberation of the German people from the tyrannical rule of Hitler and the SS. That's actually the word the Jewish propagandists used to describe the American and Soviet terror bombing, rape, and dismemberment of Germany. Liberation. The American and Soviet invaders were to be the liberators. Of course, the Jews didn't control all of the mass media before the Second World War. They didn't control the National Geographic magazine, for example. And this magazine, with its articles and photographs on life in Germany, flatly contradicted the hate propaganda coming from Hollywood. A good example, if you have access to old National Geographics, is the February 1937 issue. February 1937. But the National Geographic magazine wasn't really a mass medium, and Jewish Hollywood had a much stronger grip on the average American's mind. And so the image of Germany most Americans had was the Jewish image of a land of terror and fear and brutality and repression controlled by Hitler's SS automatons, a land which needed to be liberated and which was a deadly menace to America. The hate propagandists of Hollywood lied us into the most murderous and destructive war of all time solely because they hated the Germans and they wanted us to destroy the Germans for them. And they have maintained their pre-war lies even to this day, their portrayal of Hitler as a crazed carpet chewer and the SS as a gang of sadistic thugs. And they have added to this their post-war hate propaganda of gas chambers and of lampshades and soap supposedly made from the bodies of murdered Jews. Most Americans still believe that their fathers or grandfathers liberated Germany and saved the world. They still believe that the Second World War was a necessary war and a good war. And the reason they believe it is that they have seen hundreds of Hollywood films and television shows which have repeated these same lies to them over and over and over again. And no public figure has ever had the courage or honesty to contradict them. We're still hearing the same lies in films like Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan and in the reviews of that film in the controlled media. Americans as liberators. The fact is that Hollywood's lies about Germany led to millions of white Americans and Europeans being slaughtered solely for the sake of punishing the Germans for throwing the Jews out of Germany. And we are put at a great disadvantage even today by those same lies because they prevent so many of us from examining the past honestly. And if we cannot understand what happened in the past, we are much less likely to choose a wise course into the future. But the real point of my example of Hollywood hate propaganda about Germany before and during the Second World War is that the Jews, with their control of so much of the mass media today, are able to sway the attitudes of the whole country to suit themselves. They are able to persuade us to give precedence to their interests and concerns instead of ours. They are able to change the course of history to their advantage and to our disadvantage by changing the way the American masses see the world. They were able to do that in the 1930s and 1940s, even before television. Today, With television, they are even more able to change American attitudes and opinions to gain advantages for themselves. And today there are plenty of other examples of the Jews' misuse of their media power to manipulate the opinions and attitudes of our people to our disadvantage. There is the current prospect of another war in the Middle East. Saddam Hussein and Iraq are being held up as a threat to America, a threat to the world, just as Germany was represented as a threat to the world before the Second World War, when in fact Iraq is a threat only to the Jews' plans for the Middle East, and Germany was a threat only to the Jews' plans for controlling Europe. But the prospect of another war is very real, and it will remain real as long as the Jews retain their control of the media and of U.S. government policy. Iraq certainly is no threat to America and never has been. But if the Jews become worried about Saddam Hussein's ability to thwart Israel's further expansion, you can be sure that we will be called on again to save America, to save freedom, and to save the world by liberating Iraq. And unfortunately, most Americans will respond to the call. They will believe that they are being patriotic by responding, just as most of the veterans of the Second World War still believe that they were being patriotic in responding to the call to save America from Hitler. That's not the way it should be. Our people's patriotism shouldn't be abused like that. Our mass media shouldn't be used to manipulate our people to our disadvantage. Of course, most people, being what they are, they will be manipulated one way or another. Most people will believe what they're told to believe by their television, which means that it is essential that the people who control the mass media, the people who decide what the masses should be told, these must be our people, people with our interests, not people with an entirely different agenda of their own. The mass media could be a powerful force for good, a powerful force for enlightening and uplifting and guiding our people, rather than for exploiting them. You know, a lot of people understand that. They understand the power of the mass media. Our political leaders certainly understand that. Many academics understand it. But they won't buck the Jews. They prefer to go with the flow, to get what advantage they can for themselves, but not to speak out against the way the media have been and are being misused to exploit our people. They are afraid of becoming targets of Jewish hate propaganda themselves. And they understand the difficulty of convincing the public of the truth after the public already has been convinced of a lie. The public is fond of its myths, especially its patriotic myths, and hardly any patriotic myth is more cherished than that of the Second World War being a necessary and a moral war. And so the politicians and the academics won't point out the lies inherent in Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan. And that means that we'll have to do it ourselves, the hard way. We'll have to continue building our own media, media like these American Dissident Voices programs. That's a long and difficult job. And while we're doing that, we'll be hearing and seeing a lot more romanticized propaganda from Steven Spielberg and the Weinstein brothers and the rest of the Jewish media establishment. But at least we are reaching more people with the truth this month than we did last month, and we'll reach more still next month. Thanks for being with me again today.